Two Jack Bros. I'm Sydney. The other Jack Bro is Ansley.
I'm here.
What's up?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I looked at you. I saw you wanted to kind of introduce yourself, but I had a rhythm going.
Yeah, you took it.
I did.
You male.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't stop thinking about this documentary that I started watching about these homeless alpha men that race carts downhill.
Yeah, you enjoy it? You like it?
It's insane. I love these people.
Yeah?
It is absurd. So you saw me watching it.
Yeah.
You saw some of it that I was watching. Mm-hmm. So basically, there's this guy. He's an ex-snowboarder. He injured himself. I think he's in a wheelchair now. He can't do what he does anymore. But he has this thirst to be around new forms of adrenaline seeking.
Yeah, yeah.
And he found these basically homeless people.
Yeah.
And not all of them are homeless. We'll get to that in a second. But he found these basically homeless people that they steal shopping carts. Mm-hmm. They collect bottles and they do that for money. But they use these shopping carts to just go 55, 70 miles per hour down a hill.
Yeah.
You know, steering it with their foot, breaking with their foot. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're living your shopping cart fantasy lifestyle.
Do you have a shopping cart fantasy lifestyle?
You never rode a shopping cart in a grocery store?
I rode in the grocery store.
Have you ever ridden the shopping cart outside of the grocery store?
In the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never thought about how fast you could go?
That's too fast though. I guess I've thought about it, but that's too fast.
Didn't you and your brother didn't used to do that when you were kids? Like ride shopping carts together? One of you get in, one of you push?
No.
No? You guys never did that? Oh, man. Angel and I, my sister, we did that way too long. Way too long. We did it to the point where we got too heavy, where we were building up way too much speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one of those stories. Somebody, wasn't Linda involved too? And somebody pushed you too hard down the parking lot?
No, nobody pushed her. That's not what happened at all. That's not what happened at all. She still thinks somebody pushed her. That's how. So here's what happened. So there was the store Giant, the grocery store Giant was in the same shopping center as Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
So we used to go to the grocery store, pop over to Hollywood Video.
Which is a VHS place for the millennials.
Used to rent movies.
Yeah.
So we would pop over there. I think Hollywood Video was no dirty movies. I think it was one of those places. But it always had the newest releases. But you had to get there fast because it never didn't have a lot of copies.
No,
it was
just
a smaller.
Two.
Yeah, very small.
Yeah.
So that was our routine. We would do that Saturday. And then we'd go home and we'd watch two movies. Angel would pick one, I would pick one. We'd watch them both.
You guys are so cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's what else do you do when your curfew is dark? That was our curfew.
Yeah.
We had to be in when the streetlights were visible.
Yeah.
In way too late in human civilization for that to be the case anymore. You know, that was a story our parents used to tell.
Yeah,
There's no way we should have that curfew in the 90s. That was insane. That was an insane thing to have be the case. But anyway, so from, if you ride the shopping cart from Giant to Hollywood Video, it's on a downhill, but it's a very gradual downhill.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of what we used to do. We kind of push, one of us would be in, one of us would be on the back, kind of riding, steering. And then all the way to Hollywood, because we would park near Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
Right? On this particular day, we couldn't park near Hollywood Video because all of those parking spots were filled. So we had to park at a parking spot in front of the grocery store, Giant. And the grocery store was much steeper downhill grade.
What would you guys go to Giant and get? Something to eat while you watch your movies?
No,
like
just
chips
groceries
and dip?
For the house. Oh. It would be, because Linda, that's why Linda was there.
Oh, because you guys are responsible.
No, Linda was there.
Okay.
Linda drove, it was the whole family. It was a family thing. It was it was the three of us anyway.
Yeah.
And then we would drop the food off at the car.
Yeah.
Go into Hollywood Video, pick her movies. Okay. She would get a movie that her and my dad would watch.
Yeah.
You know, they had a VCR and a TV upstairs.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they did have dirty movies. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's, so yeah, it was a whole thing.
Okay.
You know, so we had and we would have some stuff that we would eat for the movie. You know, yeah. We, like, I'm not saying we didn't get movie snacks.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. So we got in the cart.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes like one of us would let go of the cart and then run next to the other person, like freak the other one out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet you did that more often than Angel did it to you.
I can't say whether or not that's true.
No.
No, because she introduced it to me. You got to keep in mind, I wasn't a prank guy.
Yeah.
Angel was always a prank person.
No, no, she taught you your pranks, huh? Because you're a prank guy now.
I'm not a prank guy.
You scare us three times every night.
That's not a prank.
So what is that?
That's just me scaring you guys three times every night. Goodness gracious, like a prank guy, it would be like, if I was a prank guy, it would be more than just me scaring you. It's I scare you guys in the same room. It's not even like there's nothing different about, well, it's two rooms, but still, there's nothing really different about the way that I do it, right?
No.
So anyway, so on this particular, so Angel got in the cart.
Yeah.
And she and I let it go. I mm-hmm. didn't push it. I let it go, but it was on a downhill. A very steep downhill grade, right?
Yeah.
And she went from zero to way too fast to jump out of the cart in like a blink of an eye. It was like I was running as fast as I could. I
Track star Sydney.
Yeah, I did, man. Downhill. Yeah. I was fast. I was running downhill. I couldn't do
you
it.
You couldn't catch her.
I couldn't catch her. And like after watching this documentary about these homeless guys racing downhill and how fast these carts go, I get it. Because she was like,
what happened to her? Like, she just,
I mean, she got the speed wobbles and the cart collapsed. She fell. It was terrible. It was terrible. What are you talking about? What happened? I told you, she went from zero to way too fast to jump out of the cart. There were no brakes. She didn't suddenly figure some shit out and start drifting the cart. You know, it was not. It went very bad. It went very bad.
Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, she had like scrapes all over her hands. Like, we're in Hollywood Video. She is hating me. She is. Like, normally, we kind of like walk around the video store together, like making fun of movies and movie titles and stuff. She won't even be near me. Dude, it's just like, oh my God.
Was that
God.
The last time you guys ever cart rode? Or did you do it again?
No, that was it.
That was it.
Because I didn't trust. End, huh? I didn't see. She.
Oh, because you didn't trust her.
Yeah, because she so much thought that I pushed her.
Yeah.
And she couldn't. She could not exist in a reality where I didn't push her.
Yeah.
Still to this day, like you said, you heard the story, but like, when didn't somebody push somebody? No, nobody pushed anybody. Right? So no, I couldn't trust her anymore. I couldn't trust that she wouldn't try to push me. Because I saw what happened to the speed of that cart when nobody pushed it.
Yeah.
Like, if she pushed me in that cart, I'm going back in time. Like, you know what I mean? That thing picked up speed so fast.
Oh, man.
So fast. But, man, I completely forgot about that. Nothing about watching that made me think of that story.
No.
No, I just got so into their lives, man. So, okay, so here's the one thing I will say about it. So, okay, these guys are extreme kart racing downhill, right? Super, and they're super into it. They're finding, they're getting cinder blocks and stuff to put in their cart to weight it, to build speed. There's techniques. They show you how they pick out the perfect cart, you know? And so here's a guy. Here's one of my favorite characters. Well, he's just interesting. So this guy, 15 years ago, left his family.
Okay. Like his wife and kids?
His wife and kids. He left his wife and kids because he just wanted to be an artist.
Asshole.
Yeah. And now he, you know, collects bottles and cans and plastic for money.
Mm-hmm.
And races carts downhill. Or I don't even know if he does.
He just collects bottles?
Yeah, I think he might be an enthusiast, like a downhill kart racing enthusiast.
Well, are there like professional downhill kart racers?
What do you mean by professional?
Do like they get paid for their occupation?
Like, are they sponsored by a league?
Yeah.
No, this is
like there's actually a race that they win.
No, this is fringe, and nobody's necessarily even racing. You're racing against yourself. Like
there's
not two people at a time.
Right.
These are people just trying to reach maximum velocity in a shopping cart going downhill.
But why, man?
Why not? I mean, why? We're going to keep asking that question about the shit that people do, right? We're too far in society to still be wondering why people do this. It's the thrill.
Yeah.
It's the thrill. I mean, and they're homeless. It's like they can't afford a lot of other
healthcare.
That is fair. They can't afford healthcare. They're getting crushed out there on those carts too. Their wipeouts are bad. Like we saw in the beginning of it. Like dude broke his leg.
Yeah.
That was the intro.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but this, like, I mean, other you know, X Games and like other exports are pretty expensive.
You need a lot of equipment.
They can't afford a BMX bike. You could just go steal a shopping cart.
Yeah.
That's easy. Okay.
So they're not breaking the law like you.
No, they're breaking the law. One of the dudes was arrested. One of the guys was arrested.
Okay.
And so wait, but the funny thing about the guy that left his wife and kids, he was just like, I was just tired of being tied down by the responsibilities of society. I don't think people should have to live like that.
We shouldn't, man. Yeah. We shouldn't have to live like this.
That's somebody who, in my opinion, had at least 3 kids. I think I understand what he's talking about. I almost get that. So here's my question to you. That particular guy, what'd he look like?
Oh, jeez. I feel like this is a purely white man sport. This is white man thrill
downhill
right here.
Downhill kart racing, you think is a purely white man sport. That's fair. That's fair for you to think, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, it would be like, you know, like black people will start ghost riding the cart. Ghost ride the cart. Like that's like when like black people will break in when, you know, we, you know, when, like Asians will first break in and start drifting the carts.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
you know,
the next
and
level.
Then we'll break in and start ghost riding the cart and stuff like that. So, all right. So that's your thought. I'm just like, I just extrapolated on
okay.
your thought.
You're not saying anything.
No, I'm not confirming nor denying anything.
So I feel like it's a white man sport. So, but you questioning, like you bringing this to me makes me also question. Is this the outlier? Like, there's always one.
Dun, dun, dun. There's always one. There's always one.
No, I think this is a white man with long hair that's gray, and he wears cargo shorts and a t-shirt that might have a hole or two in it. Like, definitely doesn't have full sleeves on it, and he's not wearing the proper shoe attire for this pursuit at all. And he might have some beads around his neck. Like he's like full. He's like a hippie white man.
Okay. That's fair. He's like a doughy, white, pale, pasty man with white hair. You know, that's like he's losing it.
Okay. Yeah.
And he talks like this. And he's like very beta. He's a beta male.
Yeah.
He's the only one that has a house, and he sits like, you know, like those men that sit like with their. You sit with, okay, imagine this. You're sitting in a chair, your legs are together, right, and even, and then you tilt your knees slightly to the left. You know what I mean? Like a slight tilt with both legs, but he's still facing you this way.
Yeah.
And he sits like that.
Oh, man.
That guy left his wife and kid 15 years ago to pursue a life of can collecting.
Yeah.
You know, that's hilarious to me. So I don't even know why he was in the documentary. It was called Carts of Darkness on YouTube. Gotta check it out. Gotta check it out.
Quite a recommendation.
Yeah. All right, man. I just wanted to recommend that thing. We got a story already. We got a personal anecdote about carts.
I've got one for you.
What?
I came prepared.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So there is this guy. He's an investment banker. And his name is Chris Smith.
Chris, oh, is this a what he look like?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait for it.
Okay.
So he was a 31-year-old former wakeboarder. The South. He was in America. He was South America. Oh.
Are you sure you came prepared?
No. He's from America.
No. Who was disagreeing with you?
Ready?
I'm ready.
Somebody murdered him. He was murdered.
Okay, murdered.
Murdered. Right. But after his death, before anybody knew he was murdered, they were getting emails from him saying that he was like in South America and that he was exploring on his wakeboard and he was in like a really dangerous area where pirates were. Okay. And then all of a sudden they stopped.
Okay.
But they're accusing his business partner of murdering him in a fit of rage, just either stabbing him or, beating him to death.
Fit of rage.
And he gave all the employees to their company a week off.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Wait, the business partner.
Who was murdered or the partner?
The partner that was alive.
The suspect.
The suspect.
Yeah.
And supposedly.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. To clean up the murder scene.
Yeah.
And he sent the emails, they say. And so now he's on trial. What does the suspect look like?
The suspect?
Mm.
What does the suspect look like? Because I thought it was going to be with the victim.
Chris Smith?
What does Chris Smith look
the
like?
The white reporter.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'm doing this. I got this. He's definitely white.
Right? Yeah,
because
yeah.
Because
it
was like, because like you can, like wakeboarding, that instantly made me think white. But I was like, you know, we're in a different world now. It's 2018.
Yeah.
But then you were like, he was exploring on his wakeboard. Like, yeah. We're not there yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we could wakeboard, but we're not exploring on our wakeboards yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
So.
That's not what your casual email home to your parents says.
No, not at all. Not at all. But so, it's really hard to explain my thought process with this.
Yeah.
Right? But I have the suspect, because you didn't give me his name, right?
I didn't.
I have the suspect being like a Latino character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it has something to do with the fact that I bought it, hook, line, and sinker, I get it. He's guilty to me.
Yeah.
Right? You barely read that to me, and I believe all of the evidence. I think it's a conspiracy. I think he did this. I think he sent the emails.
They think he was an embezzler, and that the partner, the murderer, knew about it.
Yeah.
And he was like panicking.
Ooh, I don't know. I think they might have both been embezzling. But here we go. That's neither here nor there. I'm putting together my dossier on that. You don't worry about that.
Okay. Like, okay.
So, but something about the fact that he's using South America as a cover.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and not to say that like he would, because it would almost, not in to say like, because that would almost be too obvious, right?
Yeah.
But unless they share a love for South America.
Oh.
And he knows that the guy who was murdered loves South America. And if he talks, and if he were to go anywhere, it would be South America.
Yeah.
Right. Why do these business partners share a mutual love for South America? Are they two white guys who came together and both love South America? Or was one of these South American, right?
Yeah.
And has a love for South America, and that's how they share it. So what are the odds of two white guys coming together who both share a love for South America?
He also went to South Africa. For his fake emails.
Ooh, South places. The plot thickens.
Because that's why he was near the Somali pirates.
Okay, so, okay. Oh, so this guy thinks, this guy is trying to say Somali pirates got him.
He was putting that doubt into your mind.
So he's blaming it on black people.
Yeah, right? That's true.
He's blaming it on black people. But not just any black people. Like the discourage of the earth. Like right now. There are no scarier black people than Somali pirates.
Right. They're
on Earth,
it, huh?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot ticket.
Yeah.
Hot ticket. You're not getting any scarier than Somali pirates.
Because there's going to be like a 7-year-old with a machine gun in that Somali pirate
that's
group. And that's creepy.
That's terrifying. Oh. Don't like it. Don't like it, right? So he's casting, like, because he didn't kill him in South America. Right, not his homeland, not where he's from.
Right.
He was just having fun there.
Yeah, right? That's just part of his world travels.
Exactly. He went to South America, another place where white people are safe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then got killed by white people's probably biggest nightmare.
Somali pirates, I think so.
Right? So I have him being, anyway, so all of that to say, like, I have him being Latino.
Uh-huh.
I don't have him being in... too great of a shape because this reeks of laziness to me. You know what I mean? So I have him being a little overweight, a little pudgy. And not to say that all fat people are lazy or all lazy people are fat, but you know what the fuck I'm talking about. Right? He's just a person that's kind of like skating by, you know, on everything. Like he might be even like not ugly, but would be handsome, or maybe he would be handsome if he lost a little weight, but maybe not, but maybe he would always be like just good looking enough.
They're investment bankers too, like they have their own investment banker company.
So he's got like a suaveness about him, but that gets like kind of just taken care of by proxy of him being South American, like Latino.
Okay, it's just one
of those things that are just given to him right away, and he's just like, "Ooh, look at this smooth investment banker. He's just Latino in a suit."
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and like a short, jelly, spiky hair type of deal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because like that's just what investment bankers do. Like they have like, you know, like I don't have him being like a. I have him being like, we're risk takers. You know what I mean? We're edgy. We're edgy investment bankers. He's white. I'm South American. It's like, he explores on wakeboards. I guess I have him kind of looking like the dad from John and Kate Plus Eight. That's what I keep going back to. I just keep going back to, I think him. I think it's like a guy that looks like him.
Yeah.
Like that's my avatar for what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my answer.
Well, you did very good.
Okay.
The only thing that you miss is the guy's name is Ed Shin, but there he is.
He's Asian.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
But he's still John and Kate Plus Eight.
He does look like John and Kate Plus Eight. Oh my God, this is crazy. That was crazy. All right, so I feel good about that.
Yeah.
He's a that type of character, that type of like, you know, like, hum. You know, yeah. All right, I like it.
Yeah.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad we did the podcast the way we did it this time. I'm like on fire right now.
On fire.
Goodness gracious. How much time do we, all right, we're 22 minutes in. You want to take a little bit of a break?
Sure.
Crush that shit. All right. Took a little break. We're back. Episode 45 still going strong. Jacked-er than ever. I can't get over how much the family loves Billy.
Billy is is Billy a lovable character? You love to hate her.
I love her.
You love her?
I'm not a guilty pleasure guy.
No.
You know, I love stuff. You know? Like, if I hate something, I hate it. Like, there's not much stuff that I hate watch.
Yeah.
I love watch Billy. Billy's the best.
And Billy is a redneck neighbor down in the South that hollers a lot.
Yeah. She's just some lady's neighbor. And she was, like, being all rednecky early in the morning. The lady started telling all of her neighbors about it. Nobody believed her. So she started a video. She started taping her with her, recording her with her phone.
Yeah.
And she started this video blog, AKA YouTube page, which is like, just Google my redneck neighbor, Billy. and watch yourself lose 2 days.
It won't disappoint.
Goodness gracious. It is the best. But it's just funny to me because everybody in the family loves Billy.
Yeah, yeah. This is like the first show that we've all loved.
Right?
What does that say about us?
You know exactly what it says about us. Billy, the redneck neighbor, is our spirit animal.
The family spirit animal.
Like the family spirit animal. Billy, the redneck neighbor. We're so redneck.
We're so redneck.
So this is something I did recently that made me think a little bit about my redneckness. So we stopped eating sugar.
Yes.
And I recently started to kind of push that boundary, right?
Yeah.
So I'm putting maple syrup on things. I told you about that.
Yeah, you told me.
I only told you that I was putting maple syrup on things. And I would imagine that you just went through your Rolodex of things that normally get maple syrup on them.
Yeah, well, I was pretty forgiving because like we haven't had sweets in the house. Like we both stopped eating sugar. We both have started eating some sugar again, but we haven't started bringing sweets into the house again. So I've been eating strawberry jelly on top of the granola. It's so good.
Yeah. So the other day when we had rice, I put a little bit of butter in the rice and put some maple syrup on it. It may have been the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Really?
It was phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. Mm. It was so good. I was like, I got to tell Ainsley that I'm putting maple syrup on things.
But do you think you could make like little maple syrup rice balls and like sell them? You could like, you'd either like sell them in foil as a ball. Like, could you make this a street food and make us, could we be fortune Millionaires?
Fortune millionaires?
Could fortunaires. Could we be fortunaires? Because we're rednecks, so could we be fortunaires? Because...
Oh, we sell these rice bowls, and that's why we're fortunaires. Maybe we might be able to do this. I'm going to have to edit this out of the podcast now like anybody with like just normalness that would already have like a business plan and a business partner and investors and stuff. Meanwhile, we're still over here trying to figure out how to make it into a ball.
It's like, gotta come up with a better name. Yeah. Rice ball.
Yeah, just right. We're just like, what should we call it? Gotta think of the name. If you don't have a name for it, you can't sell it. No, yeah. I love Billy. I love what YouTube has to offer, man.
How did you come across Billy?
YouTube gave it to me.
Okay.
YouTube was like, I think I see where you're going with this.
So you like the AI in YouTube. You want to talk about robots and seem smart?
Not yet. Because I don't want to try to seem smart right now. It's not in me. I don't think I got it in me. I will say this. For people who want to accuse me of being sexist all the time, I was definitely, that's why I'm not sexist. I had one of those moments today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, because Finn and I went to get shoestrings for his shoes.
Yes.
And we were crossing from the parking lot. Like, we have to crawl across the street to get to DSW.
Yeah.
And this car is just, like, blazing through the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's like they couldn't get away from Barnes and Noble's fast enough. You know, but it's also... People use that as that wraparound road.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I couldn't see at first. It was only a glare.
Yeah.
But I was like, I guarantee that is a woman on a phone.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it was a woman on a phone. And that's why I'm not sexist.
Oh, man.
That's why I'm not sexist, because your behavior is so obvious.
Gosh. I didn't think that's where that story was going. Yeah. I was going to be like, yes. I thought I was going to be with you.
No. I mean, you are with me. You're not with me on that? She was terrible. What a terrible person.
I mean, I have to be mad at her because she put my son in danger. But I'm also trying to support women.
Yeah.
So you put me in a very difficult position.
I know, because also the person that like, made a big deal out of stopping as if to suggest like what that person did was messed up. The person who let us was an older white lady. And I thought it was going to be a man. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was going to be a man.
And that is why you are sexist.
Well, no, I just have a lot of faith in men. That's not sexist. I just like, you know, we do the right thing out there. We're out there, you know, our MO generally is to do the right thing.
See, that's what's so frustrating. So you get to generalize. You're generalizing like, oh, most men are good, this and that. And then you'll be like, oh, it's just the male feminists douchebags.
Let me finish.
And then, you know, you part off like, oh, those are male feminists. Those are like any male behavior you don't like. Oh, that's male feminist. But for women... male feminist is a derogatory term.
Yes.
And women are feminists, and we want it to be a positive term. And it's like, not. Look at you guys. You just take it and make it negative.
I didn't make it negative.
But you made male feminists negative.
Yeah, they're terrible people. So yeah, that's a negative thing. You don't want to be a male feminist. It's gross. It's gross. But this wasn't even about male feminists. I don't know how it got there.
I don't either. You want to know what happened when I was running home with the girls from the cafe?
Yeah.
We were trying to cross Fayette, and like it was busy, right? It's lunchtime.
Yeah, and so this is a street that is one of those streets where it has pedestrian crosswalks, but it's also a busy day. It's like the main street in the town.
Yeah, and it's got four lanes.
Yeah.
And so the people closest to us, they stop. And, like, they're going to let us cross. But we can't cross because there's cars coming on the other side of them, you know?
Yeah.
And they roll down their window and, like, put their hand out. And they're, like, ready to, like, be irate at other people for our crossing.
Okay.
Stuff. But they're, like, trying to get this car to stop. And I just let this car that's driving so fast just get by here. You know, like, just let them get out of here. I don't want to, like, be walking with my girls with somebody, like, inching up on, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, like let it be. Like, but
I know. That happens all the time. It's weird because people see you crossing with kids.
Yeah.
And they make a big deal out of like, oh, well, I'm going to let this person with the kids go.
Yeah.
But they still drive up to the stop sign like maniacs.
Yeah.
It's like, dog, I don't trust you.
Yeah. You and then like me? Other people can't see us crossing if you're that close, like the first person stopping. Yeah. Yeah. But like people driving up all fast, like waving you on while they're still moving. Like,
dude, stop first. Stop first. I tell Finn about that all the time. Like, make sure you make eye contact with them and they're fully stopped. Like, mm-hmm. you got to have a communication.
Yeah.
With these people. That, I don't know how or why that reminded me, though. But what we were talking about the other day, it reminded me of, here goes the connection. I started thinking about getting hit by a car, AKA getting run over by the bus, getting thrown under the bus. Reminded me of the story the other day you told me about the lady who just came in ready to throw people under the bus, which reminded me how hard it is.
Okay.
To have like a teamwork atmosphere with people who have never done sports before.
You really buy into that? Like, you believe that wholeheartedly?
I do, because I think if somebody has done a sport, they kind of get it. You don't even have to, if you say, look, we're a team, they get it. They, a person who's done sports before, you only have to tell them we're functioning as a team.
Yeah.
And they'll start feeling a role.
Yeah.
They'll start working like how teams work.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong, the people that have been on a sports team before won't panic.
Yeah.
Because they'll have confidence in the team's ability to pull through.
Yeah.
Right? And so people who have never been on a sports team before, they love when things are going well, because when you're in a team atmosphere, like a non-sports team situation, but you are functioning like a sports team.
Yeah.
It's great when things are going well.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like they're heard. Everybody feels like they're part of it. Everybody feels integral. But when things are going bad, people that don't have the muscle memory of things going bad and a team pulling through will immediately revert towards their worst habits in that situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks, and you can see it, and it's like, so much so that it's almost like two different classes of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who have done sports and people who have not done sports.
Yeah, I would say that that lady probably hadn't done sports.
100% no. Well, the whole time when you're describing her actions to me.
Yeah.
It was like, she has never done a sport.
Yeah.
Never been on a team. That person has never been on a team before.
Yeah. We use the team like analogies, and like, so that's so much how we sell ourselves. Like,
yeah, because it's awesome and it makes sense, and that's how businesses should function.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, people are only with it while it's going good.
Yeah.
As soon as things start to get a little weird, it's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Good God. It was, listen, this isn't on me.
Yeah. I'm not going to take that.
Yeah.
It's not going to take that.
If you've ever said that, you've never done a sport. If you're listening to this and if you've ever said, this isn't on me.
Yeah.
You've never done a sport before.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Or you didn't make it on that team. You were done. You were done.
Yeah.
I want to get into, before we get into this robot stuff. If
we can't talk about robots.
No, we're not. We established that in the last episode. We're not the people. Two of us. We're too Billy.
Too Billy.
Yeah, we could talk about Billy all night long. I'm trying not to talk about Billy. Trying. I'm making an effort not to talk about Billy.
Never making an effort not to talk about robots.
So I've not stopped putting stuff together.
Oh boy!
Yeah, you ready for some Jack knowledge? Some Jack. It's either jacked or jacked up. You need to decide at the end of this.
Okay, right? Jacked or jacked up.
So this is Sydney's knowledge. Jacked or jacked up. All right, here we go. I'm putting stuff together. If you gotta listen to these other episodes, because I can't recap how many of the dots that I've connected up until this point. If you've listened up until this point, you're probably a fully enlightened creature. So you might even know where I'm going with this before I even say it. If you haven't listened to this, you're just going to be skeptical, or you're going to believe it in a capacity that overwhelms you in your life.
Oh.
Yeah, because really? It's like, it's so good.
Okay. It's so okay. Good. But give it up. Give okay. it to us.
So listen, if you're a person that believes stuff easily, be careful with this information is all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Water. Water. That's it. So I'm watching this, you know, I showed you that documentary about water.
Water, yes.
It was pretty crazy. The yeah, science it was. That they were doing about water.
Yeah.
So they were showing some things like how, like, if you put two jars of beakers, they were using beakers, two beakers of water next to each other, and put electrodes in the beakers, charge the water, it will jump up and find each other. Like, the two in separate jars, like, it will make a connection, like a little string of water, and you can pull those jars apart and it will still have like a bridge of water between those two beakers.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's freaking
insane.
It was
jacked.
It was jacked. Yeah, that was some jacked information. Like, water can do this.
Yeah.
And so they're realizing now that water has the capacity to, like, send information, you know, which is crazy. So then they started doing these studies about water where they were realizing that it also changes based off of the person who's handling the water.
Right. That was crazy. That's jacked.
Yeah. On a molecular level. It changes. And I don't know
what was the second experiment they did to prove it was like.
Okay. So the experiment that they did is they would take a drop of water. Everybody took a drop of water from the same pitcher, the same, like, sterilized water.
Right.
Everybody had sterilized. It was science. They were doing it in a scientific way. And they would put droplets on a slide. Those droplets would dry, and then they would look at those droplets under a molecular microscope or an electron microscope. I don't want to try to talk robots right now. But they would put it under a microscope, and they would look at the patterns of those dried water droplets.
Right, and I was skeptical because I was like, well, those are different droppers and stuff. Like, it might be coming in different contact with different, like, bacteria or something.
Yeah,
you know.
But no, it was very.
But then they did a second experiment where
it wasn't a second experiment. It was part of the same experiment, but they weren't explaining it because they were trying to, like, say it in a sensationalized way to make you just like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
But they weren't really explaining. If they were explaining the science at the same time, it would have been way more mind blown. It was confusing kind of with the way they laid it out documentary wise.
Okay, yeah.
But your mind instantly says, like, well, yeah, those could just be different. But no, they looked at it. Like, each person would take their droplets and do their droplets, do their amount of droplets, five, and all of theirs looked the same.
Yeah.
The next person, though, every individual person, their droplets looked different than other people's, but all this, like, similar to their other droplets.
Yeah, and, like, once they handled them, if, like, people handled them, they changed too, right? Like, not through the dropper, but just handled the
Yeah,
the
just handed off to one other, yeah, like, to yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like,
It was like absorbing something from the human that was nearby it.
Okay, and how much more of that documentary did you watch? Because they actually showed later on that water absorbs particulates from its surroundings at all times.
Okay, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's constantly pulling in. So you should not fart around water you're drinking. You can't, like, it's very crucial.
This is a PSA.
Yeah, it's a PSA. It's super important. So it's still not connecting. This is just
okay,
this is just one important dot. This is a super important
dot.
This
is a jacked dot. Yeah. A jacked dot.
Yeah, this is. This is a jacked dot.
Okay,
right?
Take me to the next dot.
Okay, so the next dot, I'm watching this documentary and this guy is talking about how important water is.
Oh, mind blown.
Right? No.
Okay.
But he's like a guru. He's like a Buddhist, or I don't know how racist I'm being right now. He's Indian. He's possibly wearing a turban. He has an accent like he's wearing a turban. I don't know if he's wearing a turban, but he's very, like, you know, he's like Deepak Chopra, but he wears the clothes. Like, you know, he's not wearing a suit.
Yeah.
So Deepak Chopra. So he's talking about how.
So he's legit.
He's legit. He's like, okay. He's probably sitting in lotus position,
for
right?
Sure.
And this is of course, a video that occurred way before the scientific breakthroughs in water, right?
Okay.
And this has been out way before these. So he's talking about how you have to respect the water that you drink. It's super important. And he says water is our God, right? Because it is the one thing that is responsible for our life. Like, without it, we die.
Yeah.
We cannot survive without water.
We're made up of a lot of water. We're made 90%?
It's like 70%
or a lot of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of water. It's between 70 and 90%. The numbers vary. I don't want to get into all that. Right? I don't want to talk about robots.
Okay. Sorry, one too robot-y.
Yeah, we got a little robot-y. Okay. And, but he was saying how the manner in which you treat the water before you bring it into your body affects how the water enters your body and what it can do for your body. So he's basically saying, listen, if you got to treat your water good, you put it in a pitcher, you know, put a flower on top of it or light a lamp next to it, like respect the water that you drink, you know, and if you do this, you'll never be sick. You'll never see a doctor unless you want to, you know, the water will take care of your body, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Can I tell you my very Billy thought when you started to say
that?
Yeah,
go Billy. Let's answer Billy.
The reason the water's so bad in Detroit then is because everybody out there is disrespectful.
Just so rude. So rude. They're rude. They're just so rude. It's Flint water.
Yeah.
Of course your water is bad. You all suck.
I take it all back. It was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't take it back. It. No, if you take it back, that's how they get you.
Oh, okay.
You got to not take
it
back.
It's a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you don't explain it. Okay. You don't explain it.
I'm
you
cool.
Just make your jokes.
I'm yeah. Billy.
Yeah, yeah, Billy. Billy! Two okay. Tech Bros. Yeah. So, this is why, here's the dot. Here's the big dot. And then this is, and I think I am anecdotal proof of this, because I don't get sick, right?
Yeah.
And okay. I'm very respectful to water. Right? I am. You can't deny that. I know that's a ridiculous thing to say. It's a ridiculous thing to say. But I'm very respectful to the stuff that I put in my body. Like, I treat it like a person who I like. You know what I mean?
How, just like your vibe towards it?
Yeah.
Like, you ever talk to your water? Like, you treat it like I
kind of like... Everything. I mean, everything. Like, even when I make food, I make sure I handle everything respectfully. I try to make sure I don't try to cut corners because I want to respect the food and show respect to the food. You know, like I'm very. So here's the important dot.
Yeah.
This is about to blow this shit.
Oh, this is that wasn't the dot.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the dot. But this is like I'm realizing that, right?
Okay.
Because I'm very like cartoonish with the stuff that I put in my body. Like, mm-hmm. like when I'm at the grocery store, like, remember how we even talked about, I won't even go to, this is true shit that I'm about to tell you. And I recommend this. And I won't at a grocery store. I won't go to a cashier who looks disgruntled because I don't want them touching my food with that vibe. Have we not talked about that?
Yeah.
I have gone into, like Wawa's and stuff, got stuff to buy, had it in my hand, but the people were just so, just like, the vibe was just so wrong. I put it back, got back in my car, and went to a different store. I've done that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know that for a fact. So I'm very particular about the vibe around the stuff that I put in my body. And I know this sounds weird, but it's starting to give, I'm feeling so validated when I'm watching this stuff, right? So here's the most important dot.
Okay.
What are people told that they should do before they eat their food?
Bless it.
Bless it.
Bless it.
Respect it.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
To show thanks to the universe for giving them.
All right. But nutrients. Let's just say everything. Again, you can listen to another episode and find out that my research in sacred knowledge shows that the Bible is really a journal of kind of like natural science, astrology, and morals. It's a very intertwined doctrine that isn't as religious as the faithful make it out to be, right?
Okay.
That's I'm putting it out there. That's a Jack take. It's a very Jack take.
That was Jack.
That's a very Jack take.
I'll give it to
so,
you.
So, with that being said, connecting all these dots.
Yeah.
When we're blessing our food.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we are blessing the water in our food. Yeah. There's water in everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're affecting the water in the food before we take it in.
Yeah.
And they've always known that.
Yeah.
They've always known that. So here's another dot that I connect. So now you watch those scientific things. That was so Billy. I can't believe I just said that. That was the most Billy way I could say that, right? So you watch those experiments where they put that powder on the speakers and they put them on at different frequencies and they make the different shapes, right? And it affects water the same way.
Yeah.
Okay? Woo, this is big, right? So lately in my meditation, as a consistent thing that I do now, I've been adding the ohm sound.
Yeah.
Why do you think that sound exists? Right? Because again, in the beginning there was sound. And this is supposed to be to the mind of the people who practice this sort of meditation, they believe that ohm was the first sound. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think we do that ohm in meditation?
Because it affects water.
Because you're affecting the water in your body.
Yeah.
And you're basically sinking yourself to the beginning of time, almost. Like if this is the first sound, well, this is the first effect that occurred. What you're doing to the water in your body. I just dropped the bomb. Boom. You're welcome. You're welcome. That's what you come here for. Two Jack Pros. That's what you come here for.
All right. It's jacked.
Right?
It's jacked.
Mind a little bit blown, right?
Yeah,
it's all about
it's
the water.
Bad.
It's all about the water. So like now in our house, we're going to be very particular about the way we respect our water. Right? We're respecting our water now. And I have some ideas. I'm floating some ideas. I want you to ohm. Everybody in the family has to ohm now.
See, I feel like having plants in your house are important as well because 100%. It affects the water in your house.
And yeah, it makes the water in your house happy. Water is happy when it's close to its natural state.
Yeah.
Right? And that's another thing. Water brings memory from the natural. So here's another. There's a business around this, right? This is, woo, this is crazy. So did you watch that documentary to completion?
No.
There's this company who they call it Memory Water. And they industrial plants have to use like water to like clean their machines and stuff. And they cycle water, you know? And the water that they use ends up getting hard. And ends up doing damage to the machines over time. And that's what causes like a lot of the maintenance that happens on a lot of these industrial machines. They realized that the problem was hard water. They didn't know how to fix it. This company, he says, listen, water has a memory. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring some water from a fresh river and hook it up next to where you have your water running. And it's just going to absorb the memory of being fresh water, and it will become, since it will remember fresh water, what it means to be fresh water, and it will become fresh water.
It sounds so hokey.
Woo! But it works.
It works? I mean, the water stop being hard?
Yeah, the water stop being hard.
What?
Measurably hard by, like, magnitudes in the hundreds. It was, like, it was absurdly, it was almost drinkable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was insane. So, you know, we're just cracking the surface on this science of water, you know, me and my guys.
Yeah.
But that's respect your water out there. Until I get back to you with more information, just treat your water good.
Okay.
Until we meet again.
Until we meet
and
again.
See what happens.
All
right. Right? Do some of your own research too, man. YouTube the water.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Where are we at here? Oh, look at that. Look at us. Look at us.
I think we should leave the people with that.
Yeah?
That's like Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Give thanks to your water.
Give thanks to your water. And so we will definitely be weirding out our family for Thanksgiving. I hope you listen to this in time to be weirding out yours. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy your holiday. Other than that, stay jacked.